but that song right there is my testimony. I came as I was, and there wasn't much standing before him when I did, and he smiled on me. Invited me into his company and made me a member of his family. God has been so good to me. Powerful reminder. Thank you, bro. Powerful reminder. My beloved, today the message that I bring to you, the title of it was inspired by the homegoing service for Reverend Michelle Price, that beloved member of this church who, when she was called on to glory, she left a gap, a vacancy, a spot that needed to be filled. And so with that, the title that came to mind was Close Ranks, which I'll talk about in a little bit. But while she may have inspired the title, I can guarantee you it was God who inspired the content for today's message. I labored hours and wrestled with what God would have me to utter to those that connect today and who may ever tie in later. What is current and what is proper for you to hear today?
Jesus.
And this is where I landed, because I know that when a gap is formed like that here at St. John African Methodist Church, that gap means that those that remain while you're mourning have to step up and fill the gap that has been left behind. Truth is that whenever a valued or beloved one passes away, a void is often left behind in the families and in the communities and even in the church. There's a period of shatter and disconnect that seems to follow when that takes place. And if this was the battlefield for any veterans that might be present, the commanding officer might order the troops with these words saying, close the gap. Close ranks. Why? Because gaps make it easier for the enemy to penetrate and to destroy. And y'all know the enemy is busy. Tell somebody the enemy is busy. He's busy. He's busy. Just watch the television and pay attention to the news. You see, the skirmishes all over this planet are taking place. The Israelites versus the Palestinians. The Russians against the Ukrainians. The Republicans against the Democrats. The Black Lives Matter activists against the Blue Lives Matter proponents. It's just this wrestling that's taking place in this world. The enemy is busy. But you know, the real conflict is not that. The real conflict is the spiritual warfare that's taking place in our presence. The Bible says that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but it's the spiritual wickedness and the evil principalities that that prevail or try to in our lives. So when we lose a soldier of light due to a skirmish or even through natural causes, we who remain have to close the gap, fill in the breach, close ranks. Now would you turn again, my beloved, back to the scripture that was read for you earlier by Sister Grayford, to 1 Kings chapter 19, and we're going to begin reading at verse 16. Excuse me, 1 Kings 19, verse 15. We'll start there. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 15. Are you there?
Amen.
Amen. If you want me to wait, I'll wait. Anybody still finding it? That's all right. I want you to be able to read along, because I might mispronounce a word or leave something out, but if we do this together, it's probably going to work out the way that it should. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 15. There you'll find these words recorded in the King James Version translation. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou cometh, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Mahalah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Then drop down to verse 19. And we begin reading there. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12 and Elijah passed by him and said, Let me, I pray thee, excuse me, I jumped ahead. Let me start that part all over again. So he departed thence and found Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him.
Amen.
My beloved, again, the title of today's message is Close Ranks.
Amen.
Close Ranks. Let us pray. Precious God Almighty, we are delighted to be in your presence. Come in our meager abilities to praise you. If we had 1,000 tongues, we still couldn't do the job well enough. But we thank you, God, that you make up the difference. Now, Lord, it's preaching time.
Yes.
I ask that you would diminish me as the person that stands before this sacred desk and use me as you see fit, that the words that fall from my lips are not based on my intellect or wisdom or even giftedness, but they are the words that you would have to be uttered. Cause the hearers' ears to be unstopped, and their hearts to be receptive, and their hands itching so that they might labor and do what they hear. We invite this in the matchless name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
My beloved, today's story is about secession, and I could have cited a number of people, but I picked on a prophet and a protege to bring to your attention. I could have mentioned King David, who succeeded King Saul. I could have mentioned King Solomon, who replaced King David. I could even mention King Jesus, who shall be crowned Lord of Lords and King of ye kings, who shall succeed all kings. But instead, I focus today on the prophet Elijah and his protege named Elisha. That name Elijah means, My God is Yahweh. Can you imagine having that name and carrying that and into the things that you do in life, and everywhere you show up, people remember that your name means, My God is Yahweh. My God is Yahweh. Well, I can get excited because I got a grandson named Elijah, and I'm excited about that because I'm going to remind him as he continues to grow up that what his name means and what it stands for. But then we have this prophet whose name is Elijah, who's from the village called Tishbe. He is called by God to warn the northern kingdom of Israel to come and to overturn the worship that they had of false gods.
Wow.
And to basically rebuke kings at God's command. Now think about that. In this time period, to come against a king is life-threatening. To stand against them publicly is to risk your own life. But yet he was called, and the courage that he had was prominent.
Yeah. Wow.
most of the time. I remember one time he got a little kind of on the fighting side when Jezebel decided she was going to take him out because of some of the things he had been saying. But God reminded him who he was and who he was in God. And then Elijah got back on his post.
That's right.
Elijah. We're talking about Elijah, who is one of the great prophets in the Bible, where in the Old Testament and in the New Testament we find mention of him. Listen to all these places. 1 Kings chapter 17 through 19. Chapter 21. 2 Kings chapter 1 and chapter 2. 2 Chronicles chapter 21. Malachi chapter 4. Matthew chapter 11 and 16 and 17 and 27. Luke chapter 1 and 4. John chapter 1. Romans chapter 11 and James chapter 5. There's a lot to say about this man, this prophet that God had carved out and called out for this special work. In fact, he's the same one that appeared on what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. You know, that time when Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus, and Jesus was transfigured, and the disciples saw that, and they beheld the glory of God. Elijah. The same one that did rebuke kings, the same one that performed powerful miracles. For he commanded for the water to the sky to be shut up and for it not to rain. And for 3 years there was drought in the land. And then in that third year he called for rain to come and it came. That's a powerful miracle, would you not say?
Wow.
He's the same one that visited with a widow and her son that only had one more meal left between them to eat, and then they knew they were going to die, and he said, don't eat it, instead give it to me and your meal will never run out. And she obeyed and responded, and true enough, her meals kept coming and lasting, and the cupboards kept being refilled by God, and she didn't experience lack during this time of drought. He's the same one that came into the house of this widow and did and dwelt with her, and her son died suddenly. And she says to him, basically, did you come all this way to take my son's life? So he went into the room where the son lay and stretched himself upon the son and breathed upon the son, and the son came back to life. We're talking about Elijah. Elijah, who had multiple victories and some pretty powerful. For example, he was outnumbered 450-1 on Mount Carmel, and he challenged them to prove whose God was real God. And these 450 false prophets called on their God to try to cause fire to fall from heaven. It was getting late in the day, and Elijah said, what's wrong? Is your God asleep? Is he not listening? They continued to cry out, and they even cut themselves in this wild fury to try to get their God to respond. But how many know false gods are not real? They have no power. And then this same one, Elijah, then commanded the people to form a trench around the offering that he had prepared to fill it with water and pour water all over the sacrifice. And he prayed, and God sent fire from heaven that not only consumed the sacrifice, it consumed the water, it consumed the rocks, the altar, it consumed everything. And then in this contest, Elijah then commands the people to bring the false prophets down to the river, where he slew every one of them. This prophet, some kind of man of God. Well, he's commanded by the passage that we read, he's commanded to anoint Elisha to be prophet in thy room, according to 1 Kings 19 and 16. What do you mean, in thy room? And that means as your replacement. He's going to be your backfield when it's time for you to move on. This one that is the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, Elisha is his name, and Elisha means God is gracious by the Israel tradition, or God is salvation in terms of the Hebrew interpretation. And so he is anointed to be Elijah's replacement. That's a pretty big shoes to fill.
Yes. Yes.
Think about it. You see the powerful things that, and have heard about these things that this great prophet had performed. How can I possibly fill those shoes? That would have been my question.
Wow.
You know, how do I step into those big shoes of yours and do anything of any consequence? But instead, this young man said to Elijah, "Let me go say goodbye to my parents first." And Elijah says, "I'm sorry. I don't know why I threw this mantle on you. It might be too much for you to handle." But the man did as he said he would. He went back to speak to his parents and say goodbye. To me, it sounds like an indication of what the Bible commands us in the commandments, that we ought to honor thy father and thy mother. What a powerful expression of that. Then after he completed that process, it said that he followed Elijah and he ministered to him. My beloved, how many of you know that when you're in the company of people that you're like an armor bearer to, and you're ministering to them, you have an opportunity to see how they respond to challenges and things that come their way that might frighten most people. And in the process, you're learning along the way how to respond to hardships, how to learn to be confident and depend on God. You know, that's what's supposed to happen when we have children and they see how we respond to adversity. And we keep saying, "My God will provide." I can tell you how many stories, I can tell you many stories where my mother was that for her sons. But she raised five of us basically by herself. And I remember her telling the story. One day there was no food in the cupboard, and we were definitely poor. We were so poor we couldn't afford the R in poor, so we were poor. We were so poor. And she said that the Lord will provide. And one day, miraculously, a sack of groceries showed up on the porch. And we have to give God the glory for that. To seeing maybe he touched somebody's heart to make them want to pull from their own supply so that we might not go in lack. So again, while Elisha is following Elijah, he's ministering to him and he's learning. And then a question is asked along the way. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 8 through 12, we find that Elijah asked Elisha what he desired at Elijah's departure. What do you want to be blessed with when God comes to take me away? And I love Elijah's response. He says, "A double portion of the Spirit that's on you." Wow. Not the same, but a double portion. Give me twice as much as you have. I hope he understood, "To whom much is given, of them shall much be required." And Elijah's response to that request was, "If you see God take me away, then your request will be answered." So what did he see? How was this acknowledged? How did he know that this double portion was falling upon him? He saw what is referred to as a fiery chariot from heaven. Come down and swoop Elijah up and through the past the clouds. And the mantle that Elijah was using had fallen from him. This mantle that Elijah had used before, where he smacked the water and the water divided for them to go across on dry land. So how does Elisha know he has now received the double portion? He was told, "When you see me go That'll be your confirmation. But he got a second confirmation to me. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, it says, this is speaking of Elisha, he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had smitten the waters, they departed. They parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. It wasn't just confirmation for Elisha. It was also confirmation for the people that stood and watched and observed this act. And they knew at that point that the spirit of Elijah had fallen on the protege Elisha.
Amen. Amen.
It's such an interesting contrast, because what began as a mantle placed on the shoulders of the protege became the confirming evidence when he himself hit the water and it departed. When Elijah departed, a gap was formed, and Elijah's mission was to turn the people back to God because they were worshiping false gods. And then we find that his mission was continued on by the protege, because the people still need to be reminded. Now take note that every church, including this one, including the one that I attend, every church has gaps from time to time. That's kind of a given. People come and people go for various reasons. And when they do, it's up to those that remain to close ranks as God provides a successor to fill the gap. So, what are the conditions for preparing a protege? What might the mentor do, like Elijah did? One is be obedient to God and model that in the presence of the protege. To be selflessness in instructing the other person as your person that will fill your shoes when you go. Now, I can't tell you how many times in corporate America I saw people that were nearing the end of their tenure with the corporation, and they didn't want to prepare anybody to come in behind them. In fact, they stayed in position far too long. Well, that doesn't just happen in corporate America. That happens in churches too.
Oh, yeah.
But here, there's a selfishness to one, a willingness to instruct the next person so that they're ready when it's their turn.
Yeah.
And then they are willing to sunset. That means sit down or do something different to make room for somebody else. That transitional process is ongoing generation after generation. And Elijah helped prepare Elisha by following God's commands. He modeled the right response to the call, and he surrendered the mantle to Elisha. Question is, are we doing likewise? Who is it that we're preparing to fill the gap when we move on?
Wow.
Who have we taken under our wing? Who have we provided the necessary tutelage that they might grow too? And they might experience failure in a safe way because we're there to guide them and to catch them when they fall. Who is taking on such a task today? Everyone that finds himself in a mentor capacity should be doing that. Preparing others so that they might one day fill the gap. Now let me talk about the conditions of the protege. I've talked about the mentor. Let's look at it from the opposite direction. The protege, in this case being Elisha, he gives us illustration of what are some good transitions, what are some good things for transition. One is a willfulness to follow. I'm going to say that again. One is a willfulness to follow.
Yes.
To hear, to learn, to glean from the other. The other thing is to get the family ready. Now, this is so real. This is so true. I remember when I was called into the ministry and I accepted that calling. This one I didn't do such a good job at. I mean, I was so on fire with God, and y'all figure out what y'all got to do, but I got to go do this ministry stuff. And oh man, I had so much to learn from the older pastors as they pulled my coattail and taught me truths about how you do and work with your family along the way. So that's one of the things that the protege does when the protege feels and realizes that God is calling him or her into a special position of honor and requirements and obligation, that they prepare the family for what's coming. And they nurture them and they minister to them so that they can be on board as well. And then lastly, the protege must be patient. Amen. I'm going to say that again. Lastly, the protege must be patient, not rushing the process, waiting until the right and proper opportunity. And until then, they're gleaning and learning along the way.
Yeah.
Thus, Elijah followed Elijah. He ministered to Elijah, and he awaited his turn. Now again, I remind you, in every church, there are gaps in the ranks. People come and people go for various reasons. Some just are called away to another site. God dispatches them to go elsewhere. Some were wounded in the church by some words that fell on their ears and made them feel hurt, and they left to be healed.
Amen.
Some abandoned their post. They just didn't care anymore. They gave up and walked away.
Amen.
Some passed away fighting the good fight of faith.
Amen.
How the remaining members respond can be helpful or harmful.
Amen.
Can I say that again? How the remaining members respond can be helpful or harmful.
Amen.
Consider when Jesus departed to sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, he left his disciples to carry on for him. Remember that?
Amen.
And as it was with Elijah and Elisha, Jesus and his 12 disciples, Jesus departed so that they might continue the work and fulfill the rest of the mission to prepare people for heaven. We too must carry on and point the way to God so that the people may respond. You remember Jesus said these words, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Then he goes on to say, "Pray ye that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest."
Yes.
That's Matthew 9:37-38. So we close ranks until more help arrives. Likewise, we don't merely invite people. We don't just say, "Come to church." No, we bring them. We don't just invite people. You know, "We got a great church over there, New London Avenue, come on by. We do real good praise here."
Yeah.
No, you say, "Look, let's do breakfast in the morning and let's drive on over to the church afterwards."
Amen.
In other words, we're talking about building a relationship, which is what happened between Elijah and Elisha. A relationship was being built as they continued to walk together and experience the move of God together.
Amen.
I think about, there was a time when my former pastor, one of my former pastors, grew too ill to continue. And I felt like the work must go on. And they asked me if I would, or actually he asked me if I would stand in his shoes and keep the church moving forward. Sister Marva, I got to tell you, I felt so ill-equipped. Although I was his assistant and I've been working with him and going to places with him and ministering to him, I felt like I wasn't ready for that. But God showed me that I had just enough, and he made up the difference to fill those big shoes of that pastor that I served.
Amen.
I may not have received the double portion of Spirit, the Holy Spirit, but I got enough to get me through.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
And I would like to believe, and I would hope that if something would happen to me, that somebody would step in the gap and fill it when I depart, when I go on, whether I'm called to another church or whether I'm called on to heaven,
amen,
that somebody would step in, because the work is not finished.
Amen.
It's not finished. It's not done. I mean, I talked to you about the skirmishes happening all over this planet. The work is not done.
Amen.
If God redeploys me to another location or sends me a fiery chariot, I hope that God would provide the next person, and that person would be willing to fill the gap.
Amen.
If God does this, my beloved, with you, I pray and hope that you have been preparing somebody to step in your absence, that would carry on this fine work for the glory of God. As you are preparing yourself to be somebody's backup, let us not forget to prepare those to be our backup as well. Are you equipping yourself for this battle? For God commands us to close the ranks. Are you preparing yourself for this spiritual warfare that's going on even today? Have you donned the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the gird your center parts, your mid parts, your midsection with the belt of truth? Have you shod your feet with the gospel of peace? Have you grabbed a hold of the shield of faith to quench the darts of the enemy? Have you grabbed a hold to the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God? Are you preparing yourself for this possible promotion into another position? Are you preparing yourself for that?
Yes.
Are you improving in the use of the sword? My beloved, I got to tell you, when we don't wrestle with God's word, we miss out. Consider Jacob. Y'all remember Jacob?
Oh yeah.
Jacob who wrestled with the angel, and he kept fighting with the angel, and he said he would not let the angel go till he got blessed. That's, my beloved, is the picture that comes to mind when it comes to wrestling with the word of God. And we wrestle with that word of God and not let it go until it blesses us. That's a daily process. That's not on a Sunday morning process. That's throughout the week. For it is life. The word is power. The word is deliverance and salvation. It is a great reminder of who we are and who it is that we belong to.
Yes.
Close the ranks.
All right.
Reverend Price is going on into glory. That isn't perhaps the only vacancy that happens to be here. I look out and I see empty seats. There might be lots of vacancies here. Never lose sight of the work that must be pursued and advance in the midst of the gap. Because I know y'all love God. Am I right about it?
Yeah.
I know you love Him because He first loved you.
Yeah.
I know you love Him because He provides for you on a daily basis. I know you love Him because in many cases He's healed your body. He's been there for you when you've mourned. He wiped your tears when you were feeling sorrow in your heart. He's been there for you.
Yes.
And my beloved, I'm just saying that when these gaps form, we the believers must close the gap. Amen?
Amen.
And would you give God some glory in the house today? Amen. Amen. So in closing, I must mention one more thing. This is where things go awry. They get off track. I can tell you, I've witnessed a lot of bad successions. Maybe you have too. Where people step into roles that they weren't really called to take on. And as a result of moving into those positions, it caused disruption, it tore stuff up, it escalated conflict. So So be wary of wrong people going into positions and filling vacancies that they're not called to do. Bear in mind, Elijah did not just decide to pick Elisha for his successor. No, he was commanded by God who the person would be. Elijah then merely anointed him and trained him up. So if we think about this journey of ours, we know that Jesus, when he departed and rose into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father, there's mission work he left still for us to perform, called the Great Commission, to go into all the earth, to baptize and to teach and to disciple and prepare people for heaven. And until that mission is fully fulfilled, there's work to do. Yes. And when the gap forms, somebody's got to step in and keep the work moving forward. Amen?
Amen?
So when death comes, we close the ranks. When a vacancy occurs, we close ranks. When we mourn loss, we still don't stop closing the ranks. When we even struggle in our own pursuits, we still close the ranks. Because that, my beloved, is a primary thing to do. With God's guidance, we can do it. As God leads us, we should do it. Without God, we cannot do it. Am I speaking to somebody today? You know God has touched you. You know God has given you a word of things to do. But yet, you have delayed the transformation. You have not stepped in to the gap. You may have felt like I did. Those are too big of shoes for me to fill. My beloved, but God's not putting you in there because you're capable. He's putting you in there because you are willing to be used by Him. I remember the first time when I got confirmation of my calling. I called my mother and I said, "Mom, I'm terrified." She said, "Son, what are you frightened of?" I said, "Mom, I'm scared because I have a hard enough time with my own soul. How am I going to help somebody with theirs?" And she broke out in this laugh, and I'm just like feeling like she's not taking me seriously. And I said, "Mom," she said, "Son, don't you understand? It's not you doing it. It's God doing it through you."
Yes.
And when that notion finally settled into my spirit, I stopped trying to fight when God says go left. I started going left. Well, I knew where that was leading me or not. When God told me to fill a position, I just filled it. In fact, it got so bad, y'all, I just told God. These people are asking me to do so much in the church, and I don't know what to say no to. So if you don't want me to do it, don't let them ask me, because I don't know. And I was just as young and dumb about church as one could be, called into the ministry. I knew what Genesis was, and I knew what Revelation was, but I didn't know much about the other books in the Bible. Not only that, my beloved, I was like, how do I do this? What do I do? What is the responsibility of a minister? But God put me in the company of people that could train me up, show the way, be an illustration. Maybe that's what you're supposed to be with somebody else, regardless of what the role is they're called to. Maybe it's not ministry as a minister. Maybe it's ministry as a trustee or an usher. Maybe it's ministry as it relates to helping to be a witness for Christ and sharing the good news in your family or to others. Whatever that is, gaps are there. Step into the gap. Amen. Look to the person next to you and say, "Step in the gap." Get in that gap. Amen. Would you join me in giving God glory in the highest today? Amen. That's what He gave me to give to you.